Hi, 943, 17 till 10, joined by Senator Dr. Mr. Bill Cassidy. How you doing, Senator?
I'm doing really well, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. About 10 days ago, we were talking, and I said, you know, for years they told me that President Biden could roll back flood FEMA risk 2.0 with an executive order. President Trump loves executive orders. We got Mike Johnson. We got Steve Scalise, not to mention yourself and Louisiana delegation. Is there any way that President Trump could sign an executive order to roll back FEMA 2.0 or flood risk 2.0. Any word on any of that at all? Do you know?
I actually just pinged my staff again yesterday because we had talked about it, about bringing it up to them. Mm-hmm. And whatever reason, I recalled that conversation and I pinged my staff yesterday and said, okay, we need to follow back up with the president. And I say that because they were showing me stuff. They're showing me statistics from Calcasieu Parish. Mm-hmm. About people raising their homes. They raised their homes above the base flood elevation, and their premium went from $7,000 to $700. Now with risk rating 2.0, these homes elevated above the base flood elevation are back up to $7,000-$9,000 a year premiums. And so absolutely pursuing this. The president's had a few things on his plate, but that said, I think it's a great idea, and it's something he can do with a stroke of a pen.
Well, let him get back from the Middle East, get a nap, get some rest, and then you can hit him with it. Speaking of Middle East, I saw you on NBC News last night walking to your office, and they stopped you and asked you about this Air Force One thing from Qatar. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm concerned about the just as, you know, I like the Qataris, the Qataris do some things I don't like, they do some things I do like, but I'm a little bit nervous about a plane. A few years ago, China put a chip the size of a fingernail inside these servers. Amazon, Apple used them. Turns out this chip was transmitting all the information back to China, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is a security risk to have a foreign government supply an Air Force One for the President of the United States.
I also
think it is a potential kind of like, oh, here's a button, we can blow it up anytime we want to. So I prefer it be made in America. If you buy a jet airplane, it should be a fighter jet, or if you buy an Air Force One built in the U.S. of A., then everything is sourced domestically, secure supply chain. There's no security risk. There's no blow it up risk. And so I'd much prefer that.
I just don't understand it. I really don't, because there are plans to build a new one. I don't think the United States, and I was watching the president last night say that, you know, the United States should have the biggest, best plane and all that. And I just don't see where that really matters. Apparently to him it matters. And we talked to an aviation expert yesterday, and they were saying that, you know, you're going to have to pretty well take it down to nothing. Because look at Chinese cranes, and you and I have discussed the problem with Chinese cranes and ports before, you know, how vulnerable that might make us. You don't know what's in there and what's not. And it just seems like Air Force One from another country is not a good idea. That would be under the terrible idea problem.
Well, so the Department of Defense will not buy drones made in China for that exact reason. Mm-hmm. So the Qataris, sometimes they do things we like. When I go by Xavier and I see their pharmacy building and it is donated by the people of Qatar to the people of New Orleans or to the Xavier University, that's something I like. Mm-hmm. But every now and then they're a little bit on the other side, and I agree with your fellow yesterday. You'd have to take it down to the bottom to see if there's a chip the size of a fingernail that's transmitting all the communication someplace we don't want it to go to.
So when it comes to the Middle East and relations with the Middle East, and we're going to get some other things in a second. The president met with the new guy that's in charge of Syria that a year ago, I think, had a $10 million bounty on his head. And that just goes to the difficult nature of the relationships in the Middle East, who's helping us, who's hurting us at the time, and what is in the best pragmatic interest of the country, right?
Yeah, but look at what the Saudis have accomplished over the last 10 years, or say since 9/11. Prior to 9/11, the Saudis, the families within Saudi Arabia, were exporting Wahhabism, a radical form of jihadist type Islam that led to 9/11 and those towers coming down. Women couldn't drive. It was an incredibly regressive society. Now they have liberalized. You don't hear about Wahhabism anymore. Women can drive. They are have much more kind of the rights that we wish that all had. And they have evolved as a society in a very positive way. The best I can tell, I'm sure they did it with some pressure from the U.S. and others, but a lot of it was internally driven. I think the president was right on about that. And so I think the president has a certain optimism about these societies to evolve in a positive way. He's trying to hold out a carrot to get the Saudis to join the Abraham Accords with Israel. Wouldn't that be great? Mm-hmm. And so I suppose he's taking the same approach with the guy from Syria. He's done a lot in the Middle East. The Abraham Accords have been fantastic. So I think he deserves a little bit of kind of, okay, let's see what you have next going on.
When it comes to some of the things you've been working on, I saw you yesterday on the news. You were running to your office, had an armful of stuff. What are you working on?
Oh, yeah, so we're working on a lot of stuff. We just had our hearing yesterday with RFK, giving him a chance to present to the American people a positive vision of what the president's agenda is. Mm-hmm. The only people who are commenting on what's been going on have been people who have been negative. And I said, Bobby, no one can explain this better than you. You do it. Secondly, we're in the reconciliation bill. We're getting a program we call it the Educational Choice for Children's Act. It allows corporations, individuals to donate into scholarship funds. If a child is stuck in a system which is not working, it would give a scholarship for that child to go to a local parochial or private school. Not for rich people, but just for working families, middle-income families. Mom, dad wants to take them to the local parochial school. It gives them a scholarship to do so. Right now, education for kids should be a civil rights issue. Kids are not getting good educations in many schools, and that destroys their potential. Collectively, it destroys the potential of the United States of America. This is one way we realize that potential.
I started at 6 o'clock this morning with Maya McGinnis, President of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, about the reconciliation bill, about Social Security becoming insolvent, something that you're very concerned with, about how this is going to add to the debt and deficit, this reconciliation bill, and also how concerned she is about, and that organization is, with the interest on the federal debt, China unloading securities, and also affecting the national security of the country. Thoughts on all of that, Senator?
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. And so, as you know, I've been working on Social Security to save it from bankruptcy in 8 years, at which point there'll be a 25% decrease in benefits. The president has begun to talk about a plan very similar to my plan, which is you set up a kind of investment fund. All risk is borne by the fund. If the stock market goes down, you still get your benefits. But over 70 years, this plan can bail out Social, and it decreases our national debt by 20%. So that's one thing I've been working on, and Maya knows about it. We've also worked on ways to preserve the benefits for Medicare and Medicaid, but to decrease the amount it adds to our debt going forward, which is to say, you make it sustainable. Mm-hmm. You make it so that you don't have to stop it suddenly because you can no longer afford it. But on the other hand, it does become sustainable. So I'm totally with her on that. We've got to address our debt and deficit. And I've got ideas how to do so.
Because we did mention how, you know, with the people increasingly depending on Social Security, if at some point those payments stop, all hell's going to break loose. And she mentioned that it would be hard to decrease benefits. So would you be looking at a model where people either pay more into it or the benefits are gradually delayed or your means testing? What are you talking about?
When we create our investment fund, think of what the in fact, since 1929, if you go every year, on average, the stock market has gone up. I think I have to remember this off the top of my head, has gone up like 8.58% or something like that. Mm-hmm. Every year on average. Now, there's years it's down, it's years it's up. But on average, since 1929, that has been the stock market return. If we take my plan, put $1.5 trillion into a pension investment fund, it's called, and you invest it in the stock market, other things, you get all the return, goes back into the fund, all of it goes back into the fund, and in about 65 or 70 years, you have so much money, it pays for 85% of of what is called the unfunded accrued liability. It pays off all the debt you've had to borrow to pay people's benefits. It pays the interest on that debt, and actually allows us to increase benefits for some, and at the same time we put in work incentives. Just to, for example, reward people for continuing to work. President Trump now has a similar idea. He's calling it a sovereign wealth fund, and ours is better developed than theirs. I've been working on it for about 6 or 7 years, and so ours is a little bit better developed. We're in communication with them, and I think we can get it through.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon about that FEMA executive order, Flood Risk 2.0, because we all want that to go away. Thank you, sir. We'll take a break. Come back, find out what Noel Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.